Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Six Rings Postgame Show on WEEI.
I'm trying to lower my shoulder. Pep did a good job of putting the helmet to the football. I got to be more secure right there, of course. Just can't have it happen.
Were they forcing fumbles? It looked like they were out there when going.
For sure. They was punching at the ball from the first play. Like I said, you can't get relaxed right there. Even when you're trying to break a tackle or lower your shoulder, that's what happened. Helmet to football, that's a tough one to hold on to. All my fault, so just got to do better right there for sure.
When it comes to ball security, as we talked to Ramondre briefly about what you can do moving forward, what can you do?
Try to shake that off, man. We know what's going on. Coach done preached that to us. We know it before he even preached it to us. You got to hold on to the football. So just got to go to work tomorrow or whenever we're back, Wednesday probably, and just practice, man. Regardless of bounce read, trying to make a play, you got to hold on. You got to keep it tight, and that's just that.
Appreciate our colleague Megan Andrini getting that audio for us from the Patriots locker room. That was Antonio Gibson just moments ago. Addressing his fumble, of course, one of five turnovers, four fumbles on the day for the Patriots as they lose to the Steelers in what was a very winnable game. Yet it seemed, Andy, that the Patriots wanted to do everything they could to possibly give that game to the Steelers, even though it seemed like the Steelers didn't really even want it that badly. But in the end, the Patriots made the most mistakes, and the team that makes the most mistakes more often than not, and I'm not even going to ask ChatGPT if a team has ever turned the ball over five times and won. I'm sure it's happened a few times.
8% of the time, I saw. Randomly,
wow.
I'm believing Twitter, but I randomly saw that in the team that turns it over five times or something has only won like 8% of the games or it happened.
How
or
about
something
that?
Like that? Yeah,
8% of the time. I mean, that's I would be even surprised at those.
Seems
odds in
high.
Particular. It does seem.
I wonder if the other team turned it over like four times, and so it was like a 9 turnover crazy mess of a game kind of thing.
Yeah, it couldn't have been a clean sheet for the other team.
Yeah, no, not at all. I would say I agree with Gibson. I said that earlier. I thought Jabril Peppers forced that fumble.
Yeah, it's a great play.
And I think he was then trying to be a good teammate when he said, "Yeah, they were punching at it. They were going at it." I mean, I thought both of Ramondre's were soft. I really did. I didn't think you could argue that either of those are a fumble that should happen for a lead back who's got a pretty nice contract and is supposed to, you know, be experienced and strong, and he just, it can't happen. You know who had the best punch? I'm rambling, sorry. Best punch of the day was Chaseon. When he was running down Aaron Rodgers, he threw a haymaker, hell of a punch that if it had been like couple inches lower, probably would have forced a fumble there. I'm not a big fan of the punch, but you got to do business as business is being done.
I like the spirit. I like the attitude. I like the effort by the Chaseon kid. He seems like a quality addition. Doesn't have the sack tally that you would like or that we probably were dreaming of, as people said, coming out of camp, like, oh, this guy's taking over for Keon White. This guy could be the best pass rusher on the team, past Harold Landry. By the way, not to say that that's the greatest pass rush in history. Did it ever feel like the Patriots generated a lot of rush today?
No, not really.
Did it? No.
It remains inconsistent because this is another offensive line, much like last week, that I thought you should have been able to make some hay, as they say, and didn't do it consistently enough. Now, Aaron Rodgers, veteran quarterback, he probably helps some of that out, but also old, doesn't move that well. So,
if I told you the Patriots had two fewer sacks than two on the day.
Yeah, they had zero sacks?
Yeah, zero sacks.
Yeah, I didn't think they had any. Now, there was a pressure early that I liked.
Five.
Oh, yeah, they had five. And the funny thing is, that looks alarming. I didn't think the offensive line was horrific.
Bad first half, I'll say.
And I thought Drake, his the last evolution of his game, it feels like, is I don't want to say pocket presence or awareness. He's not clueless, but
he
needs to know when to get rid of the ball, when to not run into harm's way. Kind there's a little there's a maturation there that still needs to evolve.
I think Coach Vrabel spoke to that when he took to the podium right after the game when asked about Drake May. I think he lauded him, lobbed some compliments his way first, but then said some things we need to clean up. And I think what he means is we can effort this audio for later in the show, but I think what he was getting at was get rid of the damn ball quicker. Like, don't look to be a hero. Don't hold on to it for so long. Got to have that clock in your head. You know, if only he could have McDaniels in his ear at 2.5 seconds, like Drake move, Drake do something right with it. One of Grady's umpteen different hallmarks of his game was, of course, in addition to being perpetually aware of the pass rush and the people around him, was also being able to step up and avoid sacks and pressures time and time again. Drake just doesn't seem to have that shuffle or that awareness just yet. I think he's 23 and today. He started 15 games.
Yep.
Yeah.
I need to remember that. I don't want to be a Drake apologist, but he's 23. He started 15 games. He didn't play 5 or 6 or 7 or 18 years in college like some of these other guys when they come into the league. So I think there are some reasons, you know, for his need to develop there. I think that's experience. I think that's something that you can only learn in sort of being in the crucible of having those guys around you and the game situation, because sometimes you need to fight through it. You know, got to have it type play, fourth down, late in the game, 2-minute drive, whatever. You might have to do it. Then there's other times, it's second down in the third quarter. Let's not be an idiot.
Back to the phones we go. Well, sometimes, folks, in the face of defeat, this is what you deserve. Jake in Boston, good afternoon, Jake.
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey.
What's up? So these are the types of games that make you believe this franchise has been cursed since Robert couldn't just take his punishment back in 2019. Let me talk about a few things. You lost this game because you were distracted. You find yourself distracted a lot at home these days when you sleep in your own bed and you've got all the distractions around you that come with playing at home, your tailgates, your styles. You are 3-16 at home since 2023. 3-16.
Yep.
Now, if you're a player like Antonio Gibson, who did fumble today, you probably need to worry a lot more about holding the football and less about the Patriots Instagram's accounts photos of you, because for the last 24 hours, all I've heard out of the Gibson camp, which is mostly his wife on social media, is about his personal stylist not making the flight to come up here and dress him. Let's hold on to the football. Then you had a family day at the Henry House yesterday where, again, every member of the organization puts their Instagram first. Then you had Jen Vrabel, who's usually been very, very private, come alive in the last 24 hours so she could show off the gifted handbag she was gifted on the sidelines. I didn't know Jen Vrabel wants to become an influencer now. That is a really bad sign. Again, you are 3-16 since 2023. If I own the team and I had a team that was 3-16 at home in the last couple of years, my first move might be to axe the cheerleaders. And mind you, this is all as the NFLPA survey considers, coddles them, enables them to coddle their players at home more. When you're 3-16, you don't deserve to be coddled. You deserve to be punished. Punished. Stop coddling the survey and punish your players and do things so we can win at home. 3-16 since 2023. Five turnovers today.
Thanks for the call, Jake.
All right, Jake. Yep, that's good. Thank you very much.
Jiminy, okay. Christmas. How long we letting him go?
I know. No, right there at 3-16, he probably should have mic dropped. He goes on a little bit too long. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it.
So what did Ramondre Stevenson do on social media that caused him to fumble twice?
Yeah, not much.
There was a lot of bitching about social media there.
I know.
You lost the game because Ramondre Stevenson fumbled twice. Like, that's why you lost the game. And I will say,
I would say that's the gold medal reason. But there were some other people on the medal platform who performed ingloriously that will have jewelry.
I stand by. If Ramondre Stevenson was never born, you win the game today. If this was like Quantum Leap or one of those things. I'm just telling you.
If you just got him into if you kidnapped him Celtic Pride style, or if his car got stuck in traffic on Route 1,
however you want to say it.
I will say, And not to bring up the old coach who had himself a yesterday, dare I say, that 34-9, and it wasn't that close.
Nope.
One, the Sucks. Way the Patriots keep turning the ball, it's so bad. So bad. The optics on that one. I would rather my team fumble 50 times than be Bill Belichick's Tar Heels at this point. It is that much of a tire fire. That said, this does make me yearn just a wee spot, Andy, for the days of, oh, you put the ball on the carpet in the first quarter, huh? I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Mr. Bench.
Yeah.
Mr. Pine, hello, meet Ramondre. Ramondre, become familiar with him because you and he are going to be best friends for the rest of this game and possibly another week or two.
And that, I think that is what Mike Vrabel was articulating at the podium when he said the comments about, you know, that's my answer 20 minutes after the game ended, which is a long-winded way of saying, I don't know. Because I think the hardo Mike Vrabel wants to sit his ass for a month and go Belichick, Parcells, you fumble, you bench, that whole thing. And then I think there's the reasonable analytical Mike Vrabel that goes, we do kind of need him. We're not really that deep. Their offense isn't really that good. We don't have another workhorse back. So I think that's – and it's also a different time. You know, it's a modern time. This isn't, you know, 2005 or even anything like that. So I get it. I do. I get the desire to bench his ass, but I don't know if you can bench his ass.
I know. I was honestly surprised to see him back in the game so quickly after.
Well, the funny one was the first one they brought him back in was that two-back look with Gibson short yardage as the fullback, and he got the quick inside carry, and I was wondering, yeah, well, they're a little weird on short yardage. They pitch the ball on short yardage plays, fourth down plays, more than anybody I've ever seen. Hey, you know, we only need 2 yards, so let's throw it 5 yards backwards before we pick up the 2 yards. That way we only need 7 yards to get the first down. Now, they're successful. I'm mocking
plays.
Not
always,
not always, but they've been successful more often than not to start the year. Mm-hmm. But it's weird the infatuation they have with those wide toss plays or option plays, pitch plays on short yardage plays.
Yeah, I've always been a proponent of trying to get as few yards as possible whenever you're in a short yardage situation.
Yeah,
and I don't mean getting fewer yards than you need for the first down. But if it's fourth and one, I don't want my guys having to run more than three.
Right.
On a fourth and two, asking somebody to run 23 yards to get 3 yards so that you have a first down, it's a big ask. You get lucky more often than not, but that could be something else on the Amazon wish list of Josh McDaniels, perhaps being a measure too clever, especially in short yardage situations, Andy. Back to the phones we go. Mike in Buffalo on Drake May and his turnovers. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I like Drake May. I think he's going to I like all the Boston teams, but I think he's going to be good, you know, down the road. But he's the reason they lost. He throws the interception in the end zone. And then he fumbles. I mean, I think he's going to be good someday, but and they played three nobodies. They should be 3-0. And now I got to hope for my Red Sox tonight. Thanks, boys.
Thank you.
Well, listen, they've Mike, we appreciate the call. Thanks so much. We do love the fact that the Red Sox won Friday night. Finally, had an offensive explosion and won last night as well. Andy, very heartening to see the young lefties coming through. Crochet last night, great debut for Kyle Harrison. We'll see if our guy Connolly Early can deliver tonight. I did want to ask you this, though. Did you like seeing Jason Tatum, Marcelo Meyer, and Roman Anthony at Gillette today on the field?
I didn't know what to make of that because part of me was like, that's cool vibes, the young stars, it's cool. Gillette's cool again. They're coming to see Drake May. This team's going in the right direction. But then I'm like, they're all hurt. All the Boston stars.
That's what I'm thinking.
Hurt. So yeah, I didn't really know what to make of that. But I think I end on it's a positive. I think it's cool that the three biggest faces or three of the biggest faces of young Boston sports stars were at Gillette because Drake May is making and Mike Vrabel are making Gillette and the Patriots cool again. That's what I landed on.
Yeah, I can see that.
I wish they didn't share like a med flight in though.
Honestly, like I wondered if some people wouldn't overreact to at least Roman Anthony being there and be like, how come you're not in like the medical tub? How come you're not doing some treatments, guy?
Oh,
come,
come on.
No, seriously.
No.
I bet you, I'm not going to sift through the replies right now from the at Patriots official tweet, but I would bet you there's got to be at least a couple in there from some salty fans that don't want to see Roman Anthony out enjoying a single moment until he is doing everything he possibly can to get himself back on a baseball
field. But what, I mean, you're probably right. Having spent a lot of time on Twitter, and you know I get in the mud a little bit with some of those people, you're absolutely right. There will be some of that, but Alex Cora told us this week that his rehab and recovery process right now includes walking 20 minutes on a treadmill. That's what he's doing, basically. So he has, you know, 23 hours the rest of the day to go just be a normal human being and go to a baseball. I don't think he's going to get hurt on the sideline giving a high, dapping up Jason Tatum or something. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, Roman Anthony's rehab set back in inadvertent collision with Pat the Patriot in a T-shirt cannon accident. Like, I don't think we're going to be seeing that.
That would be unfortunate, though.
It would be pretty funny, but it would also be very unfortunate as well. 617-779-7937 if you would like to jump in on the postgame show. When we come back in just a few moments, we'll go around the NFL, take a look at some of the other scores and how they relate to the Patriots. And Andy, one team today in particular, they may or may not have been my pick in our pick six segment on the Friday WEI afternoon show.
Did we win?
I'm tending to think that we may be on the right side of history with our pick six this week. But one team played especially well and also made some moves in the offseason that I think the Patriots would have done well mirroring as well. We'll get to those in just a few moments. First, let's catch you up on everything trending in the NFL, Boston Sports and Beyond with producer David Azer.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
Kind of a quick postgame feeling about Drake and what you saw today. You know,
a lot
good
of
decisions
good.
Versus bad. Yeah.
A lot of good. And unfortunately, some decisions that have to be better. I'm sure we'll have to protect them better. And just understanding that you don't have to win it all on one play. There's opportunities to move on and save the day. The next play.
That was Mike Vrabel just a little over an hour ago at the podium following the Patriots' 21-14 defeat today at the hands of the Steelers at Gillette Stadium, a place that, as Jake from Boston reminded us so vociferously just in the past break, the New England Patriots are not very good at recently. As a matter of fact, he reinforced it over and over again, 3-16 since the start of the 2023 season. I mean, I knew they were bad, Andy, but actually, if you just look at it, they're 4-13 2 years in a row, and now they've played two games at home, as you pointed out, two very winnable games, and yet they've come up on the short end of the stick. I thought last week the Patriots cleared the, hey, we're teaching ourselves how to win hurdle, so they should have been able to bring that back home on a gorgeous L.L. Bean quality New England postcard of a last day of summer. And in front of their fans against a team that demonstrated that they can play decent football at times, but over more stretches than not, could very well be beaten. And the Patriots, that was the next test. There were two big tests. There's a season-long test of becoming a team, but most importantly, watching Drake May develop, and we'll get to that in a second. And the other one is doing things like winning back-to-back games, finding a way, even though you have seemingly frittered the game away or squandered an opportunity to win, still snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, whereas now they're finding ways to stuff more L's in the postgame bag. It's, you know, again, we're going to look for more positives than not, but it's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, but the home stat, well, first of all, if I wanted to be snarky, I'd blame you people and say you've never been a home crowd that was very good. When the team was very good, you cheered for the very good team. You never created the environment.
That's a fair point, Andy. And I did want to ask you, remember last week, obviously, there were all those broadcast problems with CBS On Location in Miami at Hard Rock?
Yep.
Today, obviously, they were goofing around with the 50-year anniversary CBS throwback stuff. But no real technical issues on the broadcast. But it sure did sound plenty loud whenever hashtag here we go made a play. Were there a lot of Steelers fans there, or is it just me?
Oh, there definitely was. There was definitely Steelers. And I saw Giardi, I think, talked about his ride in, his walk in, the route one, the parking lots. There were a lot of Steelers along the way. And that might be part of the reason. You know, you sort of attributed higher ticket prices to hope for the Patriots. It might have also just been there were a lot of Steelers fans driving up the price of tickets on the secondary market.
They travel. That's right.
So that'd be my first home field advantage thing. I've never thought Gillette was a great home field advantage. I thought they had a great team that played well at home. So that's one area there. Also, I would say this football team has not been very good on the road either over the last 3 years. They're a bad football team right now. They were a bad football team the last 2 years, and they right now are, you know, when you turn the ball over and have a lot of penalties, you're a bad football team. You know, to steal Parcells, you are what your record says you are. I'll take it a step further. You are what your stats and your resume says you are. And you could be 0-3. You could be 3-0. You're probably fair to be 1-2 right now. But you got to clean it up. Don't blame the field or the fans or the travel or the social media. Also, Jake missed one. I don't know if he didn't see it, but Pop Douglas on social media driving in had like four buddies with him in the car, and they were like bopping around. And then there was a case of some sort of drink in the back that made it look like it was actually a like sponsored tweet for, I don't know, some hydration. Nothing bad, I think.
I know.
But if I'm Pop Douglas,
focusing on that.
Yes, if I'm Pop Douglas, I'm riding in by myself, and I don't want any even a hint of I'm not doing everything it takes, because he is the biggest disappointment on this team right now for me. I think it might be Pop Douglas in year three.
Over Ramondre?
Yeah, because what has Pop Douglas done well? I'll hang up and listen.
You're going to wonder if I'm actually on the line because I'm thinking and I don't know what to say.
Ramondre had a great catch last week. Ramondre had 88 yards receiving. Ramondre had 55 yards rushing.
Last week, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Ramondre won you a game, made big plays, and Pop Douglas, who's supposed to be the next great slot receiver and supposed to be in year three and supposed to get open in a phone booth and supposed to have a good relationship with Drake May, has not done crap to start the season, and he's bopping around with four buddies in the car on the way to the game with some hydration drinks in the back seat. I sound like Jake.
You're getting into South Coast, Jake. My God, I. That's why I mentioned in the past break. I would like to see the Patriots, you know, minus some of the sideline antics and the sideshow nonsense that's going on. I wouldn't mind if there was a little more Parcellsian Belichickification of the team by Mike Vrabel. Now he's obviously going to run the operation his own way, but if you have to tell these guys, like, guys, unless it's from the official at Patriots photographer, you know, capturing Mac Hollins walking in with whatever wacky T-shirt and shoeless ensemble he's wearing again, I don't want to see it. I don't. I'm sorry. Just do your socials. It's crazy to think that he has to go helicopter dad and big parent with the team. I just don't want to see it. I don't. Just focus, especially if, you know, you fumbled the week before or you fumbled twice. Or you made a dumb move on 4th-and-1 where instead of just diving forward for the first down, you jab-stepped back. You know, you jab-step back and then make the wrong move when you could have gotten the first down. And we'd be talking about, hey, DeMario Douglas's football IQ has increased and he made a huge play to help the Patriots tie the game up and send it to overtime. And I can't believe they snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. Instead, it turned into, yeah, Pop Douglas, what a bummer this guy's become.
I just want to defend him real quick because the photo is making the rounds. The screen capture is making the rounds, and it's totally misleading. He was coming back for the football with some momentum in real time, in video. So you freeze frame it. It makes it look like he's catching the ball
in a
certain spot.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was a tough play. It was going to be hard. Even if he did the right thing, which I think is plant your foot and get upfield, get low, I think that's the key there.
You have basically Edelman dive, yes.
The dive for the, but it's not as easy and obvious as the still that everybody is piling on around on Twitter.
That's a fair point.
Look at me being fair, even though I think the guy stinks and I never want to see him play again.
You just called him the biggest disappointment.
Well, he
of
is,
the
but the photo doesn't tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Okay, so I want to share some of the socials, people engaging with us on the tweet machine as part of the Six Rings postgame here. Here's a regular to the Six Rings podcast, the postgame show in WEEI, our old pal Butch from Boston at 617. Butch, it's player by player for me. I'm not discouraged by Drake May. I see his promise, and there is a lot to learn for him as an NFL quarterback. The fumbles, however, the penalties, the missed tackles, these things should be much better by now. Some of these guys are veterans, and they really should be better. I see. Yes. I think that's it. That is somebody who watched from home, who probably controlled their liquid celebration consumption, who is now probably, phone in hand, checking his fantasy team and his FanDuel wagers as he enjoys some 4 o'clock football, taking a more aligned, proper perspective. We've watched too much football, even though we probably shouldn't be. I know I'm prone to overreacting, and there's probably a lot of people right now eating, leftover steak tips on a sub roll in the car on the way home, trying to sober up for Monday, thinking, I can't believe I spent $750 on this friggin' team my whole entire Sunday, and that's all I got was four fumbles and a pick. WTF.
Speaking of checking your fantasy team, that reminded me of something, and I'm not talking about my fantasy team. You'll get the point in a second. I looked at it. Michael Penix, you stink. 3 points or whatever the hell it was.
Mother of pearl. What's going on with the 2024 quarterback class? That's a discussion
exactly.
For
tomorrow. No, that's a discussion for right now. Because you can make the argument that Drake May, so Jaden Daniels,
running away
hurt. J.J. Yep. McCarthy sucks and hurt. Penix sucks. Caleb Williams, I don't know what he's doing right now. I think they're actually beating Chicago, so maybe he's playing okay. But
that's a shootout right now.
When you look at that quarterback class, we anointed Penix and we anointed Mr. It, J.J. McCarthy, after the fourth quarter a couple weeks ago. Well, in the last couple weeks, Drake May is one of, if not the best, of that class. Small sample size. I'm not saying he is the best. Jaden Daniels is hurt and he's better.
We need more data, as they like to say.
Yes, but we may revisit this multiple times, not only this season, but in the next year, year plus, 2 years, whatever. I'm just saying, Drake May making a push to, after week one, we were relegating him to, oh my God, is he actually the worst of all of them? Because Penix is good and JJ is good and blah, blah, blah. Now he's making a push to be the second best quarterback in the class behind Jaden Daniels. Who's hurt? So how you like them apples?
This call couldn't have come at a better time as you allowed the efforts of Drake May, his development, and give him some of his second-year flowers, just 15 starts in. Brad is on the phone in Miami with a different spin on Drake 10. What's up, Brad?
Hello, guys.
Hello. How are you?
Good. I feel like we're going to fight.
Well, you know what I realized? I was watching the game today, and it's like a Pavlovian thing. You watch Brady lead a team down the field to come back at the end of a game, and you just kind of take it for granted. And so I'm, watching some epic bad football happen over and over and over again, but the score is, what it is, because that front seven is incredible, by the way. And I think probably kept them in the game, but they put it on a platter for the quarterback to go win at the end, and you can't do it. And Andy, I want you to tell me, because if anybody can do it, you can do it. Because you and I agree very often on this stuff. Show me another quarterback who didn't come from Wyoming, who, after this many starts, still wasn't able to come through and give you the big drive when you need it. Because you would agree, the difference between winning and losing today was good quarterback play.
No, I think the difference between winning and losing
appreciate
was
the call, Brad.
The
thanks,
running
buddy.
Back who was born and wears number 38. Drake May still has to get over that hump. I will agree. No matter what goes on around you, when you have the ball late, win the game, don't lose the game. Don't have a turnover that allows haters to say, he always does that. Even when he plays well, he gives it away or he can't get over the hump. I 100% agree. I'm going to need a little more time for research to find examples of quarterbacks that I'll point to that get over that hump. I mean, we know guys that develop, right? Like Baker Mayfield has developed. Baker Mayfield bottomed out in Cleveland and the talent was there. He had the good start, and then there were the mistakes, and he bottomed out, all of that. And there's other guy, Geno Smith, the comeback. Sam Darnold, certainly. And but I want to find other examples. I want to do a little bit more research. And we know the pressure that Drake is under if you do comparisons. Like the idea that 2 years into your career, if you're a franchise quarterback, you've gone to the playoffs. He's not going to the playoffs this year. I'm going to say that right now. He is not going to the playoffs this year. I think
that, save that for the afternoon show, David, 5:40 p.m. Appreciate.
I think if you wanted to go to the playoffs this year, you had to win one of, if not two of, the Raiders game and the Steelers game. I think those were season hingent games, and you lost both of those, even though you probably could have won both of those. You're going to be kicking yourself. You're not going to the playoffs.
Just like if the Red Sox, who obviously have won the last couple of games, crossing sports, my apologies. Not really. It's okay. It's a post-game show. The Red Sox won the last couple of games, but if they were to stay in the tailspin they'd been in over the past week or so, Andy, with their offensive woes, it's not just, oh my God, I can't believe you guys didn't win those games the final week of September. You could just as easily look back to when you went ice cold or screwed around and lost a lot of one-run games in April, or went into that freezing cold stretch for a couple weeks in May. It's never just any one something. Like, yes, the biggest reason they didn't win today was the turnovers overall. The greatest culprit was Ramondre turning the ball over in their end to set up the Steelers for an easy seven, and then also costing the Patriots seven. Again, that's why we've said time and again on the show, we'll probably say it again tomorrow as well, and won't be the only show in town to do so. This could have easily been a 10-point win for the Patriots. And instead, it's a 7-point loss, and the lines are still jammed up with people that are frustrated with Pop Douglas, turnovers, Steph, Diggs, Drake May. Everyone's got a different culprit. Everyone's got a different villain in this scenario right now, which is curious to me, but at the same time, you know, it's hard to say, okay, this guy's playing great, but otherwise everyone else, you know, you guys need to figure out what your job is and do it better.
Well, I think with Drake May in particular, people are starting to lean into their, you're a Drake guy or you're not a Drake guy. And if you're a Drake guy, you see X, Y, and Z positive, what he's building. If you're not, well, this is what he didn't do. This is what he messed up. I think, you know, in this world that is so divisive right now, those camps are starting to be entrenched, you know, Brady versus Belichick or Brady and Bledsoe, and these camps over the years, you're starting to have the pro Drake May camp and the negative Drake May camp.
One more call before we catch a break. Let's go to Joe in Berlin. Joe, how are you? Welcome to the postgame show.
Nine.
How you doing, guys?
How are you, Joe?
Good, good. Hey, listen, first of all, Pop Douglas, I agree with you. Big disappointment. And to me, you should call him Drop Douglas. He drops all sorts of balls. He doesn't know where the first down marker is. But he's not the only problem on the team. I also think the coaching staff's got to take some responsibility here. Look at the amount of times we catch a ball near the first down marker. We don't get the first down marker. Ramondre fumbles. And what do? We put him in a goal line situation to reward him. I think, you know, Drake May's a good quarterback. I think he's going to be fine. But, you know, he needs a little more help from the coaching staff, I think.
Appreciate the call, Joe. Have a safe ride home. I'm imagining that he was driving and that was car noise I was hearing, and he wasn't, that was not a white noise machine to soothe him at the homestead as well.
Well, he's on the Autobahn in Germany.
Right, in Germany. Prost, my friend.
So that was something interesting he just said.
He did stumble across something interesting.
Reward Ramondre Stevenson. That they were looking to reward Ramondre Stevenson with a touchdown. I don't disagree. I think they were trying to, I'd use a different word, maybe rebuild Ramondre Stevenson with a touchdown there. Because it goes back to last week. If you remember, one answer Mike Vrabel had, I think it might have been on the Greg Hill show, not even in a press conference, was, I wanted to get Andy the chance to kick, Andy Borogalis, not me, to rebuild his confidence or to show him I still had confidence in him. I think you can argue that goal line fumble was an attempt to get him a touchdown to rebuild his day, his confidence, his momentum.
Yes.
And
he's also a goal line back, like you said. He's, you know.
Yeah, but you want to bench him. So you could have benched him. You can let Travion Henderson get the touchdown, right? Or you can call it differently there. I think the caller is right. I think they wanted to get him a touchdown there because they are investing in him because they do believe they need him, like many fans and listeners don't. And they were trying to utilize that touchdown situation, and it backfired in a big way.
Noble intention, horrific result. 617-779-7937. Fitzy and Hart with you till 6:30, at which point we'll toss it on over to the Mass Mutual pregame show for the Boston Red Sox, who are not the official Sunday night baseball game of the week, but have a 7:35 tilt to wrap up their three-game affair, going for the sweep tonight from Steinbrenner triple, or should I say quadruple A field down there in Tampa. We'll get to the rest of your calls. And when we come back, I would like to dip into the two guys on offense who didn't necessarily dress themselves in glory today game, not named Ramondre. Of course, we know that Drake May played pretty well and had a fine stat line exiting the game. Steph Diggs, he's not necessarily wading into what would you say you do here territory, but didn't do much to affect the outcome today. And Josh McDaniels, again, Andy, just when we thought like last week he got into the bag and adjusted accordingly, I think today he got a measure too cute, and that too may have cost the Pats. Fitzy and Hart here with you on the Six Rings postgame show till 6:30. Don't go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Six Rings postgame show. Here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
May will fire it. It's picked off. Intercepted by Echols. That ends the drive for the Patriots. No points.
Producer David Hazer with a heavy dose of the strokes today in the postgame show. David, I like it. I like it a lot. Good job, man.
Definitely my favorite band.
Oh, awesome band. Highly underrated. And that was Reptilia, which is one of my all-time favorite rock songs. Here's one of the things I love about the postgame show and our ardent listeners and fans, Andy. A listener who called us from Florida about 15 minutes ago, our pal Brad, gives a call into the show. He's on for about a minute or so. Try to keep things moving. We got full line. So
He's pissed at you.
Yep. Now, all right, hold on. Well, I mean, which, of course, you love. And yeah, I see here. So here's what happens. He calls in, makes a point, you know, try to keep the calls to about a minute, minute and a quarter at most. We don't want to have people orating. Anyway, long story short, he texts you. He sends a screen cap of a conversation with you. And then you say, oh, quick hook by Fitzy. And then he then sends me a DM saying, here are some of the other thoughts. I would have liked to have talked about the trajectory of the team with Vrabel and the reality is Drake May is becoming elite. Okay, we appreciate it. Yes, he's doing better than Trevor Lawrence, all that. Brad, we appreciate you. Next time I see you calling to the postgame show, I will reserve at least a minute and 20 for you, Brad. Maybe a minute 30 if things are going well, depending on call volume. But that's, see, I love the dedication and the passion of the fans, which is great. So
and
thank you, Brad.
I think Brad is in the anti-May camp, and I don't care for that. I'm in the pro-May camp. And my last sort of argument or simplest argument would be back in 2001, if you argued,
when was the last time a six-round pick came in for a $100 million quarterback, blah, blah, blah,
like, sometimes there's one-off stories, or like Kurt Warner.
Right. When was the last guy, a guy from the Arena League who bagged groceries in the offseason, became a Hall of Famer?
Like, sometimes one-offs are just one-offs.
Right. And you know, some things can be unique and anomalous. I also love that somebody just slid into my DMs and sent me a photo of Dan Connolly holding the ball with two hands on his famous run back on that Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. Side note to that, every time I watch that highlight on YouTube or IG, I always think that particular time that I watch it, he's going to finally score. But I love that someone screen capped it to me and then sends it to me and says, how come Dan Connolly had better ball instincts than Ramondre Stevenson?
Oh, we're going to pile on Mondre.
No, but Andy, come he on. Stinks. You understand.
He's got nine fumbles in the last year.
9.
Yeah,
you were making Berlin German jokes. 9-9. Yeah, he was on the Autobahn. He literally has not no, 9, as in like one short of 10.
Yeah.
Like it's bad. Ball security.
I know.
And so the reason why David, producer David.
When did
Andrew,
I grow a heart?
I don't know. Well,
I feel bad for him.
You just picked up an E along the way, and that's where
yeah.
we are. So David helped us rejoin there with audio of Drake May's interception at the end of the first half. And everyone all over social media, and I'm sure at the stadium, bar rooms, breweries, you know, fan caves, et cetera, probably. Oh, Drake, come on. You can't throw the pick there. Come on, dude. What the F? That's such a bad pass. What a dumb look. I thought you were growing. No, what happened was the ball, as you pointed out earlier, and we all saw on replay, the ball was tipped. So the tip ball prevents the, because Pittsburgh was getting more pressure in the first half than they did in the second half as well. But the ball gets tipped. It should have been a touchdown to Booty. Kayshon Boutte was wide open in the left corner of the end zone. But I wanted to discuss why Josh called three straight pass plays on first and goal within the 10. Like, but then when you see Ramondre fumble, you're like, well, you want to know why? That's why. I mean, this team, that's a damned if you do, damned if you don't moment that kind of leaves this team stuck in the middle. Like they're a victim of their own device any which way you turn there, Andy.
So their lead back fumbled twice, once on the goal line. Their backup, change of pace back, fumbled once. And their third back is a rookie who was averaging 2 yards a carry and not really maximizing plays. I mean, it's not the dumbest thing to say his best options are to put the ball in his quarterback's hands, especially with a quarterback who is choosing to run well, had a rushing touchdown last week. My takeaway from that play, having now listened to Drake May talk about the interception, is going back to that age-old coaching comment that Josh McDaniels and I believe Drake May parroted earlier this season, that there's no bad plays, there's either success or something you learn from, something along those lines. He learned from this. He said, I got to throw a different path or trajectory on that pass. And he learned because I think he could have lobbed it over for a touchdown. That Booty was open. So put a little arc on it, lob it over there, touchdown. I tried to throw it. It accidentally hits a hand or great play by the defensive lineman, whatever you want to say, changes everything, red zone, tight quarters. So I think Drake May learned from that. And if I'm being optimistic that he's young and only 15 starts in, those are good things that he's putting in the bank in the future to not make that mistake. Fitzy?
Hello. Are we back?
I didn't know
Andy.
We left. Yes.
All right. Sorry about that. The funny thing was I was actually carrying on for a moment. I thought there was a connectivity issue with your home studio. So I was apologizing to the audience saying, sorry, we have a connectivity issue, but we'll go back to the phones and hopefully get Andy back on the line for the final half hour of the show. Turns out it was I who had the technical issue. So I apologize to that.
Oh, damn it. And you know what? I was just about to praise technology. I really was, because I think I told you guys on WEEI Afternoons, we have a new puppy. So during the course of today's game.
Oh, congratulations.
But yeah. So during, my wife and daughter were out of play. So I was on puppy duty during the game, and he gave me the old hairy eyeball, which means there's liquid coming. You can choose whether to have it inside or outside. And so I took him outside, but the beauty just clicked, boom, on my phone, and I'm watching the game while just walking around with the puppy. Boom, right back inside. Didn't miss a beat. And then technology fails us a little bit here, but mostly technology is on the uptick.
I will give technology, save for that little glitch right there for less than a moment's time, it's props and hip hops, because with the number of duties that I have at the homestead as well, between the dog, two new cats in our house, two kids that have a multitude of different things to do, and all of my domestic Daddy Doubtfire chores, watch the entire game on my phone. And I was in every room, both yards, the driveway, you name it, and didn't miss a beat thanks to YouTube TV technology and whatnot. So one little glitch on the postgame show, not the end of the world. Let's grab a quick call, Andy, and then we'll head into our home stretch there. Jesse is in Long Meadow. He's got an interesting question I would like to see if we could get to the bottom of. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, it's happening. So I was actually at the game today. I got to tell you, I'm definitely, you know, frustrated with the path this year, but not discouraged. I do think they're going to figure it out and get going. But my question is, and I don't know if I maybe missed this article or something, but why haven't the Patriots been actually using Steph Diggs? You know, my thing is they don't have an X factor on this team. They have nobody that's quote-unquote a problem. But you have Steph Diggs there. So why aren't you using him? And then I'll sign off.
Okay, thank you for the call. Jesse, that's a great question, Andy. In 30 seconds before
he was their leading target, I believe, just ahead of Hunter Henry. Is it as productive as we'd like it to be? Probably not. Would I prefer he not standing over Pop Douglas with the game on the line, watching him come up short and just actually have the ball thrown in his direction? Yes, I would probably say that. But Stephon Diggs has 15 targets so far on the season. That is second only to Hunter Henry, who had 11 targets today to move past him. So Hunter Henry had a big day. We all saw that. He had 2 touchdowns, 90 yards, played great, even came back, banged up knee. But Stephon Diggs had 7-5, and then today was a 3. Caught all 3 passes thrown his way. He's been very efficient. He's caught 13 of 15 balls thrown his way this year, so there's great efficiency there. He's the most efficient receiver on the team. And I continue to also say he's ahead of my physical productivity timeline curve. Yeah, because he's on the field. So, yeah, we'll see where this role goes. And it is interesting, though, that the week when Drake May said, I know I got to get him the ball more, he had a season-low 3 targets and 3 catches.
That
maybe exactly. His mind was on other things, though, because there's a lot going on social media with Steph Diggs.
There most certainly is, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to get into that, you as well. Maybe we'll leave that to Wiggy and the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not sure I'm capable of tiptoeing through the topic without saying something you're not allowed to say.
Put it this way, there are some allegations of some extra baby mama activities, some DM sliding, shirtless photos. And
also some praise, though, of his
Capabilities. He's got some. Apparently, his off-field capabilities are more impressive these days than his on-field capabilities.
Yep, indeed.
Yeah, and we'll just leave it at that. 617-779-7937. When we come back, home stretch here of the Six Rings postgame show with you till 6:30, and then it's time for the Mass Mutual pregame show leading up to Red Sox baseball, looking for the sweep in Tampa. You got Fitzy, you got Hart, you got producer David Azer, and we got you for another half an hour. Stick around for more Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
The Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
A couple of minutes after 6 o'clock here on the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI, WEEI.com. Of course, the Odyssey app and our fabulous network of affiliates. If you don't have the Odyssey app, what are you waiting for, guy? AUDACY. Download it today and check out all of your favorite podcasts like the Six Rings podcast, hashtag dork, and you can listen at your leisure, at your convenience to all of the shows, the Greg Hill Show, the Jones and Keefe midday program at WEEI Afternoons, and so much more. Tomorrow on the show, Andy and I will be joined, of course, by Marcus Jones and Drake May. Andy, what do you think Drake's mood and resolve is going to be like? Are we thinking that is he going to be optimistic? Like, hey, if we clean up these turnovers, like some of these callers have been, like you even have been on the show, then, you know, this will be great. Or is he going to be frustrated vis-a-vis, like, damn, we could have won that one. I can't believe we let it get away.
I think he'll be a little bit more toward the frustrated end. I don't think he'll whistle past the graveyard because I think he understands the role, the leadership, and that, you know, that's unacceptable. But it's a balancing act. It for him and Vrabel. I mean, they're going to set the tone for the week. Certainly Vrabel at 6:30 tomorrow morning on the Greg Hill Show will set the tone. And it's a balancing act for him to talk about penalties and turnovers. You know, don't go crazy. Don't go icky balooky in week 3. And also don't make excuses and seem like you're sort of signing off on it like he did with the penalties last week. Remember that comment last week when he said, actually, we've done some research and there's not a direct correlation between penalties and winning and losing or whatever. I thought that was one of the dumbest things a head coach has ever said. Even if it's true, I would keep that information from my players because I don't want my players to know that information. So
I kept thinking about that. It's funny you mentioned that because I kept thinking about that very same comment today during the game, like as the Patriots got whistled for holding or a false start, or it was another Carlton Davis PI or something, just kept thinking, like, guys, you're giving Pittsburgh a chance to hang around in a game you should roundly be beating them in. So if Mike Vrabel says the penalties don't matter that much, I would like to disagree. And I'm pretty sure Mike Vrabel knows a little bit more about football than I.
Yeah, I don't. That was very dumb comment. I didn't like the tone that set. And even if you just boil it down to simple yards matter, right? Penalties come with yards, free yards. So you know, is it okay to miss a tackle? No, you'd get mad that the guy missed the tackle. You'd say, that's not acceptable. Let's clean that up. Oh, why, coach? It only gave him 5 yards, just like that penalty gave him 5 yards. And you said, 5 yards isn't the difference between winning and losing. I heard you on the Greg Hill Show. So I hope he has a well-prepared approach for tomorrow morning to set the tone, because there's going to be a lot of questions this week. And this week could go... could go sideways, I feel like, early on with the criticism and the way fans are pissed off. Fans didn't like what they saw today. There's a lot of over-angry fans right now.
There are some frustrated fans, but I did share on the socials that one caller that we had in the last hour that said, I'm frustrated but not discouraged by the Patriots. And most people that replied to the tweet said, yes, that's an appropriate take. Yeah, that's the way I'm kind of feeling now. So while there are a number of aggravated, agitated, and displeased members of Patriot Nation right now, there are those that are a little more understanding. Good on them to take the long view approach to this season, when a lot of the national media pumped up the tires and I think elevated expectations excessively this offseason. We got a bunch of calls we want to try to rifle through, Andy, with a little time left here on the postgame show. Don't forget, in the final hour, we always get to Andy's thumbs up and thumbs down, where he tells you who did what, who did it well, and who needs to do it better next time. Here we go. Danny is in Rhode Island, one of our favorites here on the Six Rings postgame show. What's up, Danny?
Hey, guys. I'm not one of them, believe it or not. I'm not really too down on them. I'm not expecting much. So it's frustrating, yes. But I want to stay consistent with what I always think is a problem with me, because I think he's going to be fine. But until he has a dude in his life where it's third and you got to have it, fourth and you got to have it, everybody in the stadium knows where the ball is going, he's never going to get to where he needs to go. You know, that's part of the problem. And Hunter Henry's a nice player, but he's not one of those guys. We need a Gronk. You need somebody that is going to be the guy that, this is the play, you got to have it, and this is where the ball is going. That's why there'll be no indecision. You know what I mean? They just need to have that type of player on offense, whether it be a tight end, a wide receiver. That's what he needs more than anything else. I know some of these other guys are struggling, but they all at least have that type of player in their system. And I don't know where this team is going to get it, how this team is going to get it, like I said last week, but please just get it. That's it. You guys have a nice week. Take care.
Hey, we always appreciate the call, Dan. Thank you very much. Here's a couple ones for you, Andy, just coursing over social media during the break. We shared that Ramondre audio with you earlier today. That quote of his, we're going to replay this one a bunch this week, and it's going to resonate for quite some time. If I can't hold on to the ball, then they don't need me. Oof, that hurts.
Correct. I like it. I like the honesty.
Good. Yeah, no, good. The accountability is great. I mean, he's being dead honest, and it's a very fair assessment.
He's probably also sick of the fumbling. You know, as much as we're sick of it, think about him. He's been dealing with this for a full calendar year himself in the most personal of ways, and he's probably sick of it and maybe desperate, maybe not really knowing. I've been working for a year to stop it, and it won't stop. I don't know what to do anymore. He might be in desperation mode.
Here's another little here's a fun tidbit for you. I know you love fun facts, tidbits, and stats. Ben Volen put this one together. Patriots outgained the Steelers. Ready for this? This is stupefying. 349 yards to 101 over the final three quarters, and lost the game by 7 points.
Yeah, that's what happens when you turn the ball over five times. That's what happens when you turn the ball over twice in the end zone. They shoulda, coulda, because somebody tweeted me, yeah, wait till this team gets blown out by the Panthers next week. They scored 30. Patriots could have easily scored 30 today. Easily scored 30 and had a blowout victory. Easily. They just didn't, you know. As somebody said, they should not have had popcorn before the game, because all that butter on their fingers clearly was a bit of a problem.
And how about this? We played Drake. We took Drake May's postgame presser live right around 4:15 today on the postgame show. If you guys want to go back on the listening to the podcast or the Odyssey app, of course, once you finish up the show. When he said during the postgame, I wish I would have told those guys on 4th-and-1, just try to catch it and get upfield. I wish I would have told them that in the huddle. Those little things go a long way. Yeah. Nothing popped it wrong.
So you have to tell him to wipe his butt after going to the bathroom?
Yeah. I mean, no, honestly, Jesus. This is where you get into your whole thing about, like, your whole routine about, I'm not just starting to doubt, I'm disappointed by Pop Douglas's lack of football smarts or football instinct. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, when I help out coaching Little League and you see kids, that just make the most egregious errors or are not paying attention or don't take to the coaching, you can question their – like, they like to be out there playing games with their friends, but you question their baseball instinct, whereas there are some kids that just don't miss Sunday night baseball and never miss a Sox game, Yankees game, or Mets game, whatever. Like, where's Pop's knowledge? Like, he has to know where his feet are. He has to know how much further he has to fight to get that yard. You can't try to, quote, make a play there. The play to be made is no matter which direction your body's going, no matter what kind of momentum the throw from Drake creates, get down, get the yard, get going.
Yeah, I appreciate Drake trying to be a good leader and trying to support his guy. Awesome. Awesome. But dead wrong. That's on Pop Douglas. That is not on Drake May. Because Drake, I actually would worry about that. If Drake starts thinking about what do I have to tell each of these guys on every play, it will overwhelm him. You can't possibly make sure you give every coaching point to every target on every play or every important play. You already have more than enough on your plate, Drake May. That's on Pop Douglas. And I'm not going to always say what he did was wrong. Like, maybe there's a time when I would want to trust him on the field, surrounded by the certain players at a certain distance in a certain location, where maybe his little comeback and then go forward would work. But the reality is, for that situation, it didn't work. It was never going to work. And it's his job to figure that out on the fly. Like, that's what the good ones do. That Troy Brown would have had that first down. Wes Welker would have had that first down. Yeah, Julian Edelman would have had that first down. So guess what? Yes. That's why they were good. They knew what to do, when to do it, how to do it. I don't think Tom Brady reminded them every freaking third down,
hey, make sure you get upfield, guys.
I think those guys knew it came with the territory and the job.
David is in the car. Welcome to the postgame show, David.
Hey, good evening, guys. So, very disappointed, and I was there, and I don't know, guys. I'm just going to say this. We got something to worry about. I think everybody keeps saying, oh, everybody's going to be fine. Everybody's going to be fine. Are they going to be fine? We don't know. We're hoping. We really want everybody to be fine. We want Drake to be fine. We want the whole team to be fine. But here's the thing. Since Belichick left, we lost 35 home games. The 20 years before that, we only lost 25 during the regular season. That is a huge problem. Huge.
Yeah,
it is indeed, David.
It's talent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would boil it down to, is talent. Since Belichick left, since Brady left, whatever barometer you want to use, the talent hasn't been good enough. You haven't had clutch players that made clutch plays. You haven't been good enough in a lot of areas. As as Dan said, you didn't have a go-to receiver. You haven't had a go-to receiver since Edelman and Gronk left, correct? Like a real go-to guy. Henry's nice. He's not a real go-to guy. So, yeah, but I'm not going to blame it on – there's a lot of people jumping to conclusions, and I think it's the people that had too high an expectation. I tried to tell you people back in May and June that this team was the most overrated team in football, and people were getting ahead of themselves with 10 or 11 wins, and they're making the playoffs and bang the over and all those things. There were a lot of warning signs. There were a lot of flaws, and nobody wanted to pay attention.
All right, Greg is in Rochester. Greg, good evening. Welcome to the postgame show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm okay. So, yeah, a lot of these guys are just making, like that guy Danny, I don't know. A lot of these guys are just going off on emotion. This team probably, again, was looking at 7-8 wins. This game could have been a win. Obviously, 5 turnovers is terrible. But to have the conversation of what is the identity of this team and all that, obviously 5 turnovers is terrible for any team. If they turn the ball over once or twice, they still should have won this game, and it totally changes the conversation of this whole team. So I just hate the overreaction of everyone calls in and expects more out of this team. This team's still 8 wins or so. They're still a little bit of ways away from being that solid playoff team.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, that's probably the case. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Yeah, the identity of this team is very simple. It's a team with a young second-year quarterback, a first-year head coach, a lack of talent at some key areas with a lot of new faces, a 50% roster turnover. That's your identity. And that identity will lead to ups and downs and mistakes and transitional or bridge-type play. That's what the identity of this football team is. But I would also argue part of the identity you're hoping to lay is you have a young quarterback, you have a left tackle. Hopefully next week you'll have an all-pro cornerback back out there. You have a defensive front that looks like it can impact games and do its job and give you return on your investment. Like, you're starting to add foundational or identifiable pieces to the future. That's what this team is. This team is about the future. It's not about the present. Whether you want to accept that or not accept that, I don't know what to tell you. And I get why fans are mad, Fitzy. A lot of fans are mad because while this is year one of Vrabel, it feels like it's year five of the rebuild. And I get that frustration. But it's also a reset because there is a new coach and a new regime moving forward.
That's the tough pill, I think, for people to swallow, Andy, that they want success now. They want enjoyment now. Yes, they would love some things. They want to know that the pillars are in place, that the foundation has been dug up and laid, and that the new house, the new castle, you know, whatever sort of, like, you know, forge in Foxborough construction metaphor you want to go with, is working out for them. But when they, like, there's just, sorry, a tip pass in the end zone, in the red zone, when they call too many pass plays, that's Josh being a little too cute. Josh McDaniels is not a rookie. Ramondre Stevenson fumbling twice, that's inexcusable. Antonio Gibson, he's an NFL veteran. He's been around the league 6 years now. He shouldn't be fumbling. Like, people, I don't know if they're missing fundamentals. I don't know if people are trying too hard. Whatever the case is, they just, I don't know. That's the thing that's frustrating to me. If it's going to be guys that are new, if it's going to be rookies making mistakes, I'll allow Drake May to have one of those games where it's like, ah, he airmailed a couple, the kid's trying too hard. He'll figure it out. But for people around him to be letting him down as we're watching him grow, which is, of course, priority number one in the season, I think we can all universally agree with that. That's just a measure too frustrating for me.
But
all right, last call before we get to, what's that?
I was just going to say, but that's part of it, because when you have middling talent, you're not the Eagles. You don't get to look and say, that guy's a Pro Bowler, that guy's a Pro Bowler, that guy could go to the Pro Bowl. Like, that's not who you are. That's not the reality. So there are going to be people that let Drake May down, and how he deals with it will be part of his future.
All right, last call, and then we'll get to thumbs up, thumbs down, and wrap up this edition of the Six Rings Postgame Show. Appreciate all the listener participation today. You guys have been terrific. Don't let us down, Dan in Boston.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Quick question. Last offensive play of the game. Can you hear me?
We most certainly can. We are with bated breath.
Last offensive play. Yeah. Talk about fundamentals, okay? Last play of the game was not Drake May's fault. It's the receiver. The receiver has to know on a fourth down how many yards he has to get. He has to go to where the sticks are at least or beyond. Otherwise, it's no go. And I don't know whether or not that falls on Josh McDaniels and the receiver, both, but that was not Drake May's fault.
No, I think we can all agree. Thanks, Dan. Again, that, as Andy pointed out, I will yes-and that one with a verbal RT. That's great leadership by Drake May, saying he probably should remind everyone, just get that yard, just get to the sticks. But these guys need fundamentals. You know, again, maybe it's the new style and new approach that needs to be taught. Maybe they have to go back over football 101. Or again, as often happens on teams, Andy, where a team lives on the fringe, or they've got a new culture of losing and are mired in the frustration of not being able to get over one, if not many, humps, people try too hard. And then what happens when they try too hard? They end up making mistakes that they shouldn't.
Or sometimes you just find out some guys just aren't the right guy. Because if there had been, I mean, that's a cliche as old as color commentary. Oh, that's a rookie mistake there. Short of the sticks on fourth, that got to have that, blah, 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 blah. And he's not a rookie. He's not even in his second year.
No, he's not.
He's in his third year, and at this point should be either a centerpiece of the offense, or, correct me if I'm wrong in this phrase, Fitzy, I know you and Ted get mad when I say this, he feels like he's at a bit of a career crossroads.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, we've got a whole week to unpack that one for sure. All right, Andy, hit him where they ain't looking. Let's go with the world-famous, always imitated, never duplicated, thumbs up and thumbs down from today's Stillers at Pat's Affair.
So I'm going to start with the thumbs up with Hunter Henry, because he was your best receiver, scored a couple touchdowns, put points on the board, didn't take them off the board like a lot of other people, came back from a little dinged up left knee issue on one of those catches. He had one of the games of the year. This is what we expect him to be for Drake May as often as possible. We know he's not going to put up 15 touchdown receptions or anything crazy like that, But this was a good Hunter Henry performance. If you could have gotten this mixed in with like last week's Ramondre Stevenson performance or whatever, this is the type of thing that you can start to build the foundation of a good offense. So Hunter Henry, great day. I'm putting Drake May on the list. Some of the haters will argue against me.
Oh, he threw an interception in the red zone. He fumbled later in the game.
Yeah. He also was the reason you marched up and down the field, put up all those yards that you referenced earlier, mm-hmm. had the opportunity to score those points. It's not perfect with him. He's still growing and learning. He's allowed to because he's young and he's got a lot on his plate right now, as we detailed a couple weeks ago. But Drake May, absolutely. This is the second part of his best back-to-back games in the NFL. In his short career as a starting quarterback, this game was part of that. He ran well. He ran smart. He did have the hit to the back of the head when he was taken down on the turf throwing that ball up. Which is a concern, and we'll talk to him about that tomorrow, and we'll see where that goes. But Drake May had a good game. I'm putting Morgan Moses on the list as sort of a leader of the offensive line. I don't know if you caught this. Morgan Moses made the tackle on one of the turnovers on the sideline where he came flying like Jimmy Superfly Snuka and took the guy out. That effort right there means something to me from a 117-year-old right tackle who has a bum knee. And, you know, some could say, oh, is he just trying to collect a paycheck? That was to me, and then we heard Drake May say, I think it was Drake May told us that Morgan Moses called the offense up on the sideline. Mm-hmm. I think Morgan Moses is doing his best to be everything you want out of him as sort of the veteran offensive lineman. It wasn't perfect. We talked about it. 5 sacks allowed. They had their issues. I didn't think they opened a lot of big holes in the ground game. Actually, they were opening some holes early for Ramondre until he fumbled. But Morgan Moses, I think, is trying to do his best to be what they need him to be at right tackle. Situationally, fourth down, they were good. Third down, they were good. Like
aggressive
they were
on fourth down today, yeah.
Yeah, maybe overly aggressive, but it's a fine line between aggression and stupidity. I'm not sure I would have gone for it on that, what was it, the 15-yard line? Fourth and two on the 15 or whatever it was, inside mm-hmm. the 20, your own 20. But they got it, and that's great, and they're being aggressive with some of the play calls, short yardage, we talked about it. We don't have to like it, but if it works, it's successful, right? The result of the play is what matters in the National Football League. Thumbs down. I think the obvious one is Ramondre Stevenson. I don't know that we need to talk much about that. When you fumble twice, you lost the game. You fumbled on the goal line. Did you notice Christian Ellis got benched, Fitzy, for Gibbons?
Ooh.
Dr. Gibby. Christian Ellis missed a bunch of tackles again, and he didn't make a lot, unlike Spillane, who I thought continued to miss tackles, but also, according to the stat sheet, made like 15 tackles. Christian Ellis got benched. Be interesting to see what the linebacker situation looks like moving forward as these guys deal with those tackling issues. The penalties continue to be... I'm not like Vrabel. I will never say penalties are okay, and I'll never bitch about the refs as much as he does. I save that for Friday Night Football and high school games when I'm up in the stands. But if you're a coach, you need to acknowledge you need to be better, cleaner, or just play it the way they're going to call it on the field. And then my biggest thumbs down is a combination of two guys. And it's one guy we just talked about, Pop Douglas. We know he was short. But my biggest thumbs down is the connection between Drake May and Pop Douglas, or lack thereof. He's supposed to be the volume guy. He's supposed to be a top target. Mm-hmm. They have no chemistry. No chemistry at all. And that's my biggest issue with this offense right now. I thought it was going to be productive with that tandem, and it couldn't be more it's like, Fitzy, you're a film guy. I don't know what the classic example is, but you always hear critics say, oh, there's no chemistry on the big screen right. between these two main actors. That's what there's zero chemistry between Drake May and Pop Douglas.
A few examples come to mind, but we'll have to share those over the course of the week on WEEI Afternoons and the Six Rings podcast, because we have to wrap things up and make sure we headway over to the Red Sox MassMutual pregame show, of course, before the game tonight at 7:35, first pitch in Tampa. Sox looking for the sweep against the Rays. Great job at Jumbo Heart. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 6 on the WEI Afternoon Show. We'll talk to Marcus Jones. We will talk to Drake May, and we look forward to talking to you. Great job, producer David Azer, and everyone who tuned into the postgame show. Sorry it was a frustrating one today, folks, but hopefully, like one in many callers and even Andy Hart and I said, you can be frustrated, but don't be depressed. Brighter days are ahead. That'll do for the Six Rings postgame show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your night. Go Sox, and we will talk to you later.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.